From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm David Hyde. Ann and Nancy Wilson, the women behind the Seattle band Heart, have a new biography out. It's called Kicking and Dreaming, a story of heart, soul, and rock and roll. And it's written with the help of music biographer Charles R. Cross. Cross served as editor of The Rocket from 1986 through 2000. And his other books include a biography of Kurt Cobain that's Heavier Than Heaven and Room Full of Mirrors, a biography of Jimi Hendrix. Charles Cross, thanks for joining us.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
So why did you decide to take on this project of writing about the Wilson sisters?
Well, I've always been a big Heart fan. I grew up listening to their music, looking at these album covers. I'll tell you that. They had a huge impact on me, both visually, the way they looked. These women were truly some of the most extraordinary and striking and powerful women in rock and roll. And in the era that I was growing up, you just simply didn't have women fronting rock bands. It was unheard of. So I knew it was a great story, and I knew it had to be told. And I primarily write Northwest stories, and this is one of the most Northwest of all of them. They grew up in Bellevue, played their very first public appearance at the Congregational Church there on Northeast 8th. If you drive by, imagine that that's the first place that Ann and Nancy ever played in public together.
How important was music to the Wilson sisters growing up?
It was everything to them. They describe seeing the Beatles on the Ed Sullivan Day as if it were their birth. And in some ways, it was their birth because they imagined themselves as performers from that point on. What was really unique about them is most young women growing up watching the Beatles thought the Beatles were cute. They imagined themselves as Beatle wives. They personified the Beatles as this cuteness. To Ann and Nancy, they immediately thought of themselves as the Beatles. It inspired them to become musicians. And when they saw the Beatles play in Seattle in the late 60s, that was the moment that kind of set them afire.
And I want to fast forward to where and how they started Heart.
Well, they started Heart not a long time after that. Ann was older than Nancy, and she began and played in a couple of different bands. And in the late 70s, early 70s, there had been a band around Seattle that was already going by the name of Heart, and she sort of joined that band. They first went by the name White Heart. They also went by the name The Army, and that band included Roger Fisher, who would become the guitar player that would be known for that track you just played, Barracuda. Roger happened to be brothers of another guy named Mike Fisher, and Ann met Mike Fisher, fell in love with him, and Mike Fisher is the magic man and Crazy on You, and all these songs were inspired by that relationship. From that point, Heart kind of took off once Ann found a creative muse.
And where were they working at this point?
They were in Vancouver, B.C. Even though the band sort of began in the Northwest, began in Seattle, played a number of clubs here, Ann moved to Vancouver specifically to be with Michael Fisher. And the band broke up at that point. And then eventually everybody else in the band moved to Vancouver. And they became what they jokingly call themselves the biggest cabaret band in Vancouver. So from about the period of 72 to 75, they played every club, every nightclub, every barn. They played Michael J. Fox's prom. Great story. He came back and thanked them. They played everywhere around Vancouver and around British Columbia and Western Canada. And they did not play hardly at all in America because since Michael Fisher was a draft evader, they couldn't go across the border.
So they're playing all of these different clubs, but at that time, of course, radio still mattered. It still matters to some extent today because you're listening to this, but it mattered a lot back then. How did they end up getting airplay, and what was the first song?
Well, the first song that got them airplay was in Canada, and it was Crazy on You. And that song took off on Late Night and on a variety of different Canadian radio stations. It wasn't a huge hit, but it was a hit.
Let's hear a little bit of it now in case people don't remember.
Every
more about why Canada and a little bit about the Magic Man.
Well, Michael Fisher was a draft evader, so he had gone up there to avoid the Vietnam War, and there were a lot of Americans at that point that had been up there. And Anne went up to be with him. She was in love with him. Clearly, you can listen to that song and listen to any of this. There's a huge romance in most of this early Heart. And they ended up being played a lot. You were asking about radio. There's an odd Canadian content law, whereas if you're a band in Canada, to try to avoid the dominance of the United States on them artistically, they have a Canadian content law. So if you're a Canadian band, Canadian radio stations have to play you, or they have to play a certain amount of Canadian content. Heart, nobody in the band was from Canada, but they became immigrants, and it was recorded in Canada, so it qualified under the Canadian content law. So that's the main reason they took off initially, is because in Canada, radio stations had to play Canadian bands, and they qualified. And they became huge stars based on primarily a French language radio station, Montreal, playing Crazy on You and Magic Man. And they didn't even know they were stars until they went to Montreal.
All right, let's hear a little bit of Magic Man. All right, so Magic Man, what's the story behind that song?
It's Michael Fisher. I mean, literally the lyrics of this song are right out of Anne's life and diary. Mama tried to understand. She's calling her mom back in Seattle. And basically, Anne was a very sober, kind of sane young woman growing up in Bellevue, never did anything outrageous. And she threw everything aside to go chase after this guy she was in love with and move to Vancouver. And her parents and everyone else thought she was completely nuts. She broke up a pretty successful band to do that. And but you can hear it in the lyrics here. She was called. And ultimately that is what made Heart. It gave her something to write about. And Michael was a great sound guy, and he became Heart's first manager and drove them with what everyone called was, a 5-year plan. And it ended up that he was exactly right. Within 5 years, they were stars.
How important was Michael Fisher to the ultimate success of Heart?
He was very important. He was mostly important, of course, as Anne's sort of cohort. They were a very tight couple. They were Heart. And then the sort of weird thing that eventually happens is Nancy ends up going out with Roger Fisher. So their joke was that they called themselves the Wilshires. It was the Fishers and Wilsons and the Fishers. So you had Anne with Michael and Roger with Nancy. And for 4 or 5 years, they were the power couple to end all power couples. 2 brothers, 2 sisters. It was a great story. That was the story that most of the music magazines wrote about when they wrote about Heart.
Music biographer Charles R. Cross is here, and his new book is written with Anne and Nancy Wilson about the Seattle band Heart, called Kicking and Dreaming, a story of heart, soul, and rock and roll. There's a lot about gender in this book, although they're not always so happy having been asked, I understand, about what it was like to be kind of women in rock and roll. But what was it like? What was it like for women in the entertainment business in the 1970s?
Well, the sad story is when I answer that question, it's like that today in our year. Women are judged constantly by their weight, by their appearance. And with Anne and Nancy, the instant that they were no longer young or no longer slender or no longer whatever, they were judged against this earlier vision that people had for them. That's not something that happens to men in the entertainment industry. To some degree, I think what's happened is we've become more sexist as a society in general. We're constantly obsessed with youth and appearance within rock and roll. But in the era that Ann and Nancy were coming up, it was unbelievable. Unless you were a beautiful woman, you weren't going to get a lot of attention. There were no Adeles in that era. But they were extraordinarily beautiful women. They just didn't want to be judged as that. They didn't want their gender to be the main thing that they were looked at. And unfortunately, that was, you know, one of the main reasons that they were analyzed and judged by other bands. There's some great stories of them being on tour with Lynyrd Skynyrd. And at one point, they're kind of, you know, showing up Lynyrd Skynyrd. And Lynyrd Skynyrd actually, you know, pulls the plug on them playing.
Literally pulls the plug.
That was the kind of stuff they dealt with all the time.
How about from rock critics? What kind of reception or writing did they receive?
I quote a lot of the reviews, and they're absolutely extraordinary. They never would be written for a man. And where their look, their sexuality is in the first sentence. There was a story in a magazine called Cream that was kind of a edgy rock magazine with an attitude at the time. And the writer began the story by saying that he offered them $10,000 to be naked in front of him. And then he ends the story with the word sex 64 times in a row. That's the end of the story. This is the thing that would just simply never, ever have happened to a man. And that's one reason it's a great story. They in some ways survive their gender, and they eventually are, you know, now nominated for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And we don't talk about their gender because it was interesting, but the reason heart matters is because of their music. But in that era, it was hard for them to get some traction.
And one song that combines these two things is the song Barracuda. What's the story behind that song?
The story behind Barracuda is extraordinary, and most listeners aren't aware of it. You know, the band was promoted by these sleazy radio guys, and one of those guys went up to Ann and said, "Where's your lover?" And Ann said, "What do you mean, Michael? He's not here." And the guy said, no, your sister." And there had been an ad that their record company had run. Their own record company had run an ad that implied that Ann and Nancy were lovers. It's just absolutely extraordinary. I almost can't even believe it now as I'm telling you, after having written the book, that actually happened. But it did. And Ann was so offended by that ad, so offended by the sleazy guy, that she went back to her hotel room, which was in Detroit, sat down and wrote the lyrics to Barracuda on the spot.
That's the story about Barracuda. Here's the song. All right, so how long did the original Heart last?
The original band with everybody that was together pretty much lasted from about 1972 through about 1980, and then the wheels fell off. The relationships that the Wilsons had with the Fishers broke up first, and Roger Fisher was the first guy to leave the band, and then eventually Ann and Michael Fisher broke up, and then eventually the original lineup kind of fell apart. And Ann and Nancy were the only real consistent players that have remained as the name Heart ever since that point. They're still on the road. They were here just last month, still putting on, I think, an incredible show. Ann's voice, in my argument, has held up the way almost none of these rockers are. You go to the Snoqualmie Casino, you see a lot of these people that were popular in the 70s. Their voice isn't great. And Wilson's voice is as good as it was in 1975, and it's truly extraordinary.
You mentioned earlier that they were nominated again this year for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame heading into 2013. How important is that kind of acknowledgement for Heart?
I think it's important. It's long overdue. They should have been nominated 10 years ago when they first qualified. I think, again, there is a sexism to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, which is 95% male. it's again extraordinary to think about that. And if we really think that females have only contributed to 5% of the entire genre of rock and roll, that doesn't make any sense to me. But I think they'll get in this year. They were nominated last year and didn't quite make it, but I think their time is long overdue.
In their acknowledgments, they say, the Medal of Honor goes to Charles R. Cross. He went with us to the heart of our story and helped us tell it honestly and with pride, a true human being and rock fanatic. What was it like?
I'm glad I'm a human being. That's a good.
Just a rock fanatic. What was it like working with the Wilsons to create this book?
It was extraordinary. I mean, they're both very well thought out. They're both much more intelligent than anybody had any idea and much better read. And they also understand the tradition of rock and roll out there. And they're also very funny people. There are some wild stories in this book, and they reveled at telling those stories. But first and foremost, just like they said of me, they are music freaks. So it was very extraordinary and rewarding to be on their tour bus and just talk about the albums that they grew up in and that I grew up with and how important that tradition of rock and roll was to them. They would talk for hours and hours and hours about the Beatles. You could spend the rest of your life talking to them about the Beatles. And but to hear them sing Beatles songs on their bus acoustically, I mean, what a dream come true for somebody like me that grew up loving their music growing up.
The style is really interesting. It goes back and forth between the sisters and some of the other characters in the book. Why did you decide to go that route?
Well, there were a lot of different voices in their lives, and Anne and Nancy sometimes have different takes on the exact same thing. They are very similar. At times, sometimes it's hard to tell them apart, though obviously their hair colors are different. But there are also many other aspects to their career that they experienced differently. I mean, Hart kind of broke up for a while. Nancy went off to try to have a family. And that's one of the most extraordinary stories in this book, of the time that they kind of fell apart. And the way Anne said it, I thought was so extraordinary, because she said it was like the first person that didn't believe in Hart came from my sister. And then eventually they did start touring again and they got back together. They have a very, very deep bond.
I got about a minute left, but what's your next project?
I can't talk about it on the air yet. There's no contract signed. But I've got a couple different projects that I'm working on right now. I don't know that it will be exactly the same as this book. I always try to do something different, but I'm always telling Northwest stories. So that's the hint I can give.
That's a good hint. Charles Cross, his new book with Anne and Nancy Wilson, is Kicking and Dreaming, A Story of Heart, Soul, and Rock and Roll. From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm David Hyde.
I'm pretending, and that's all I can do. The love I'm sending ain't making it through to your heart. You've been